بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكم العدل اللطيف الخبير الحليم العظيم الغفور الشكور العلي الكبير الحفيظ المقيت الحسيب الجليل الكريم الرقيب المجيب الواسع الحكيم الودود المجيد الباعث الشهيد الحق الوكيل القوي المتين الولي الحميد المحصي المبدئ المعيد المحيي المميت الحي القيوم الواجد الماجد الواحد الأحد الصمد القادر المقتدر المقدم المؤخر الأول الآخر الظاهر الباطن الوالي المتعالي البر التواب المنتقم العفو الرؤوف مالك الملك ذو الجلال والإكرام المقسط الجامع الغني المغني المانع الضار النافع النور الهادي البديع الباقي الوارث الرشيد الصبور الذي ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. From the 99 beautiful names of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the next few names appear as in pairs, we say. Example, today we discuss, insha'Allah ta'ala, Al-Mubdi'u and Al-Mu'id. Al-Mubdi'u is the originator, meaning that being that creates something for the first time is called Al-Mubdi'u. Al-Mu'id is that being that returns something. Returns Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from death returns us to life, and from life to death. So that is Al-Mu'id. So Al-Mubdi'u, ulama explain and say, is Al-Mudhiru li-shay min al-adam ila al-wujud. Mubdi'u is that being that gives existence to something from non-existence, meaning there was no ingredients, there was nothing at all from nothingness. Nothing at all. At least insan, when he wants to make something, he's got some tools, he's got some ingredients. There is something from which he will form. He puts parts together, or he enhances on some creation and he will build something. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is Al-Mubdi'u, the originator. That there is no plan in front. At least we have a plan before we want to build something or make something. There is a thought in the mind. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had fashioned and made us and created us to perfection from non-existence. So that is Al-Mubdi'u. Al-Mu'id, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being الَّذِي يُعِيدُ الْخَلْقَ بَعْدَ الْحَيَاةِ إِلَى الْمَمَاتِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَبَعْدَ الْمَمَاتِ إِلَى الْحَيَاةِ فِي الْأُخْرَى. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will return the creation, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this world we are alive, and in this world Allah will change us from life to death. And on the day of Qiyamah, from death back to life, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us life again after death, on the day of Qiyamah in Akhirat, is that so the person who toiled, made an effort, he will be rewarded for his good deeds. And that person who was disobedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he will have to account for his ill deeds. So in the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Definitely a time had come on man. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ. For this reason, we find on the on a Friday, Jumu'ah, then it is sunnah to recite Surah Sajda in the Fajr Salah and Surah Al-Dahr. So the question is, why recite these two surahs from the whole collection of surahs that we have in the Quran Kareem? That these two surahs are reminding us of our origin, that we were nothing. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. You were not even something to be remembered of. So why on a Friday from all days? Because yes, the day of Qiyamah will be taking place on a Friday. Till there, full stop. Which Friday? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows best. Some narrations, or sometimes we read articles that it's going to be on Ashura, etc. There's no basis to all of that. But yes, this much we can say that it will be on a Friday. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the sunnah to recite these two surahs, because Surah Sajda also is about the initial creation of man. And Surah Dahar also is reminding us as insan that you were nothing. And what's going to happen on the day of Qiyamah, that's also detailed out for us in Surah Al-Dahar, which appears in the 29th juz of the Quran. In Surah Al-Baqarah, towards the end of the second juz of the para, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ. Have you not seen those people who left their homes, وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ, they were thousands in number, حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ, they were fearing death. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates and he says that there was a group of Banu Israel in their home village and town. There was an outbreak of a disease, there was a plague, because of which, to protect themselves from the sickness and from death, they left that city and they went to the jungles. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had commanded two angels to surround them in the valley and had taken the life of each one of them, this group of Banu Israel. So many years later, Nabi Hidhqil alayhi salam, he was passing through these lands. And he was informed that this is the land that these people were given death. So he made dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, oh my Allah, revive them from the dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them life once again, and they were living in this earth. So the lesson that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the only being that can protect us from any difficulty. If there's anything that we are fearing, it's only Allah that can protect us. Running away from a situation is not going to protect us. That is why it's the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If an epidemic has to break out in any area, then don't run from that area hoping you'll be saved from it. And if you're out of the area, don't come into it testing your iman. Which means if you're in that area and an epidemic or a sickness has broken out, then don't run from there to say, you know what, if I'm out of the city and I don't get sick, see, I protected myself, the sickness didn't come because I left. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, you stay there. If it's the command of Allah, you will get it. And if it's the command of Allah, you'll be protected. And if you're not in the city, then don't come into the city to say, no, I got iman in Allah. Whatever is to happen is to happen. No, they also, we adopt the means and we will stay out of the city. But here, if you're in the city, don't think you leaving is going to protect you. Because sickness is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And it's for this reason we will see that sometimes we read in the news, the person who left South Africa, sometimes for greener pastures, sometimes for peace and security. The one who left this country because there was too much of hijackings and killings and murder, etc. So he wanted a safe zone. He was looking for a haven. He went to Australia. And he is the one from all the houses in the neighborhood, he was murdered in his house. There's so many other people in that neighborhood. No one's house was broken into. Only his, and he was murdered. Well, that was happened a few years ago. So these things are the lesson for us, that everything is in the control of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Running away from South Africa is not going to protect us and save us from death, because that is only in the control and in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So those are two names, Al-Mubdi'u and Al-Mu'id. Some ulama explain and say that if a lady is pregnant, then if she recites this name Al-Mubdi'u excessively, a lot, she reads this and a lot, some say to read it, blow into water and drink that water every morning, Allah will protect her from any miscarriage insha'Allah ta'ala. And Al-Mu'id, the returner, or to is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if anything or any person is lost, then the recitation of this name has been proven to be very beneficial. Person loses something. One is, we lose something that is, maybe you lost your car key, or you lost one card, you cannot find something in the house, or a key, whatever it is. Then some ulama explain and say that reciting Suratul Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, reciting that a lot with yaqeen, inshallah you'll find it very soon. And we've seen that, alhamdulillah, a lot of people, that they're looking for something and they're reading إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, and no sooner will they find exactly what they are looking for in the most oddest of places. So khair, that's one. And for those that in writing exams, then it comes in the narration that if a person forgets anything, then he must recite surah, he must recite Durood Sharif. Inshallah, he'll remember what he forgot. Not the one who didn't learn, huh? Not the one who didn't learn, and he says, read Durood Sharif, the answer will come. No. This is not wazifa for wahi to come. It's the wazifa for the person who learns something, but it just slipped the mind. Excessive recitation of Durood Sharif, inshallah that point will become very clear to the mind, inshallah, Durood Sharif. So these are some, and the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Al-Mu'id. The next two names of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is Al-Muhyi and Al-Mumit. Al-Muhyi, Hayat, the giver of life. Al-Mumit, Maut, the giver of death. So these two names are exclusively for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No other person can give life or can give death like Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that being who gives life from a dead or a lifeless drop of liquid. Something that doesn't have life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life. Or sometimes it's an egg, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life. And that person who's got life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him death. That's only in the control of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And no other being besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we find in the life of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, he was living and facing the challenge of Fir'aun. That was the year, obviously, the people had predicted, the people in the time who, maybe the sorcerers, they said that, listen, this, every alternate year, we should kill the boys of Banu Israel. And it so happened that the year that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born was the year that Fir'aun had commanded the killing of the youngsters. So here again, the lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life and no one else. That the command is to kill, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala kept Musa alayhi salatu wasalam alive. Not just alive, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him up and nurtured him in the palace of his enemy. In the palace. So he was given a very comfortable place, palatial home. And there was the upbringing of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, because life and death is only in the control of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No one else. I mean, very often we hear, person meets up in an accident, paramedics are on the scene, they say, where's the dead person? What you mean, where's the dead person? No one is dead. So how? It's only from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you look at the car, you cannot believe that a person can come out alive. It doesn't make sense. Logically, it's not possible. You mean you just got scratched? You just bruised? So because life and death is only in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we have yaqeen in these two names of Allah, that life and death is in the control of Allah, only with the permission of Allah, then a person will never ever be worried, concerned in any effort of deen. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu, a sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he went and he was fighting one of the battles against the Romans. He was taken into captivity with some other sahaba radiallahu anhum. But because him being a senior ranking sahabi, the Roman emperor had summoned him and called him. And he had told him, see here, if you become a Christian, there's freedom for you. That's all you need to do. Become a Christian. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu says no. So he says, see, if you become a Christian, I'll give you a share in my kingdom. Not in my business. Not in my property. Not in a block of flats. Now imagine if proposals like this were given to Sahaba, yet they were so steadfast. He says, forget about giving me a partnership and a share in your kingdom. Forget about that. He says, لَوْ أَعْطَيْتَنِي جَمِيعَ مَا تَمْلِكَ وَجَمِيعَ مَا مَلَكَتْهُ الْعَرَبُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ أَرْجِعَ عَنْ دِينِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ مَا فَعَلْتُ. If you give me whatever you own, forget about a partnership, present your entire kingdom and the entire kingdom of what the Arabs own, that I become a renegade and a murtad only for the battering of an eyelid, wallahi, I'll never do that. Even for one second. Forget about becoming a Christian. So he says, you know what? This person is too firm in his deen. How about this? Let's hang him up and we'll shoot an arrow on his head. Let's do that. So they hang him up and they're just about to shoot. But then the Roman emperor says, no man. I mean, I'm doing this so everyone can see him and maybe to threaten him, to put some fear, instill some fear into him. But Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu, no sign of fear on his forehead at all. Hasn't creased. And yet he's looking as calm. Because he knows he's going to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the Roman emperor said, no. Let's change the mode of punishment and do something else. So he said, let's get a big cauldron and a big pot. And we will boil the water until it's absolute boiling point. And then we'll throw Abdullah bin Hudhafa into it. So they got the water ready. They're taking him to throw him into this cauldron or this big pot. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is just at the edge, about to be thrown, and he starts crying. So the king said, no, bring him here to me. It seems like he's buckling into pressure, call him. So he comes. So the king asks him, why did you cry? You want to become Christian? Maybe you want to accept the offer? So he says, تَمَنِّيْتُ أَنَّ لِي مِئَةَ نَفْسٍ تُلْقَى هَكَذَا فِي اللَّهِ. Forget about that. My desire is, if I could be given 100 lives to sacrifice for the deen of Allah. Yeah, one life finish, I'm going to be burnt, or I'm going to be boiling, and that's the end of me. I wish I had 100 lives to sacrifice in this manner. Yaqeen in these names of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that life and death only belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Eventually, he said, see, if you kiss my forehead, there's freedom for you. So he says, kiss your forehead. There's no shirk, there's no kufr, there's no problem if I kiss his forehead. But hold on, freedom not for me, for me and all the other sahaba radiallahu anhum that are in captivity. So he says, no problem. So Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu kissed his forehead. He gained freedom for himself and all the other Muslims that were taken into captivity. So this was because of yaqeen in the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that life and death is only in the control of Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu made an amazing dua. Appears in many books of hadith. Comes in Bukhari Sharif also. Umar radiallahu anhu made the dua. Allahumma rizuqni shahadatan fi sabilik, وَجْعَلْ مَوْتِي فِي بَلَدِ حَبِيبِكَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي بَلَدِ رَسُولِكَ. So he says, اللَّهُمَّ ارْزُقْنِي شَهَادَةً فِي سَبِيلِكَ. اللَّهُمَّ ارْزُقْنِي شَهَادَةً فِي سَبِيلِكَ. Oh, may Allah bless me with martyrdom in your path. وَجْعَلْ مَوْتِي فِي بَلَدِ حَبِيبِكَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And let my death be in the death in Medina Munawwara. So ulama explain and say, martyrdom is out of Medina Munawwara. Battle of Uhud, Badr, etc. all took place out of Medina Munawwara. Here he is asking for martyrdom, which to our minds means out of Medina Munawwara. Martyrdom is only out of Medina Munawwara. But he is saying he wants his death in Medina Munawwara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him martyrdom, forget about in Medina Munawwara, on the musalla of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he's performing the Fajr Salah, then he was stabbed, that led to his death, and that was Shahada, way on the Musalla of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So yaqeen in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it is for this reason we find that Khalid radiallahu anhu, again, yaqeen in the name of Allah. He was laying siege against one of the forts in Sham, and it was such a long drawn affair, that the kuffar eventually, they were getting tired of the siege. They came and said, listen, let's enter into a peace treaty. So one person came to negotiate the terms of the peace treaty. When he came, he had a small bottle in his hand. Small bottle, and there was something in it. So Khalid radiallahu anhu saw that there's something in his hand. So Khalid radiallahu anhu, he asked this kafir, that what's in your hand? So he says, it's a bottle. What's in the bottle? He says, poison. See, but why do you carry this poison? You see, we are so frustrated in this fort. We came to negotiate the terms of the treaty. And if it's not going to be going in the right direction, I'm sick and tired of it. I will drink this and I'll kill myself. You see, but what poison is that? You see, this poison is so potent. It's so strong. Forget about drinking it. The people who even sucked on it, they died instantaneously. Immediately they died. So he says, that's how strong it is? So he says, yes. Khalid radiallahu anhu says, right, okay. He found an opportunity to give da'wah to this person. Not to prove his iman and yaqeen. He found an opportunity to give da'wah to Allah. So he tells the person, give me your poison. So he holds the poison in his hand. Say, what you gonna do with it? He says, what I'm going to do with this, I am going to drink it. And if I do not die, you become like me and a Muslim. He says, no, you can't drink this. You're going to be, definitely you're going to kill yourself. I told you, forget about drinking. One sip killed the people of the past. There's no cure for it. Khalid radiallahu anhu says, give it to me. This narration appears in Hayatul Sahaba and appears in Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimullah narrates it in his Kitab Al-Isaba. So he took the bottle, he recited Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'ismihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'ismihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. Famous dua we recite every morning. So he recited this dua, Khalid radiallahu anhu drank the entire bottle and he did not pass away. This person becomes a Muslim. Now again, the lesson of here does not mean that we do these things to say, you know, I'm a Muslim, come and show you what we believe in. No, it's not to do that. Ya Khalid radiallahu anhu had that level of iman, but he wasn't testing his iman. His intention was da'wat, not to prove. So that's very important. If there is even an iota of riya and sum'ah, that listen, come I show you how strong my yaqeen is, that dua can backfire on us. So we will do things only for the deen of Allah, for the yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.